Have you noticed that superheroes seem to be multiplying? A quick internet search reveals superhero lists, including one entitled My 100 Favorite Superheroes. The compiler starts with a few familiar to me: Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Superwoman, but then soon gets into comic book heroes of whom I have never heard: Billy Batson, Cassandra Cain, and many, many more. Who's heard of Billy Batson? Oh, we've got some Billy Batson fans, yes! What about Cassandra Cain? Okay, more research needed. But apparently, I mean, given that the Encyclopedia Britannica provides an alphabetical list of superheroes but only includes 48, and this other person has his 100 favorite superheroes, it's not entirely clear, it seems, who is a superhero and who is not. All superheroes have to have some kind of special power. Most superheroes can fly, many can make themselves invisible, or they can shapeshift. They all have some degree of super strength and super speed. Again, there are useful lists of superpowers easily available just a few clicks away. But this was not so in the days of first century Palestine. Then there was only one superhero, the Messiah. There were no comic books or films, no movies about the Messiah, but there were plenty of prophecies about him. People had been talking about him for centuries. He would for sure be descended from David, the last king who ruled over a united country and who had a special relationship with God. He would save his people and rule over the nations. In the psalm we read, we heard that even the trees would rejoice when he is revealed. And this superhero, the Messiah, the Christ, would rule not by using special powers and crushing his enemies, but with righteousness and truth. This was a big contrast with the supervillains. By the way, there are lists of supervillains too. But the supervillains of the day were Caesar and Herod. Caesar was considered by some to be the son of God and ruled the Roman Empire with a strong hand, using his powerful army to crush dissidents and insurgents across the Mediterranean and southern Europe. Herod was a vassal king. He got to rule over Israel, but only by doing what Caesar wanted. Herod also killed people who got in his way, as we know from his decision to try to kill the baby Jesus, which led to a lot of dead babies and grieving families. But I'm jumping way ahead of the story. All the Jewish people were hoping that the superhero Messiah, also known as the Christ, would show up and would take on the supervillains, Caesar and Herod, and would win, and then everybody would be free from oppression. Today, we are celebrating the backstory. The Messiah didn't start his public ministry until he was about 30, which was quite old, because most people then only lived to be 35, maybe 40 if they were lucky. Three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give us very similar pictures of Jesus the Christ's ministry of healing and teaching. Mark just has Jesus showing up as an adult, but Matthew and Luke give us the backstory: who his family was, how, when, where he was born. And really, it's a bit of a surprise for a Superman, a superhero, unless you remember Superman himself, who, though he was actually from the planet Krypton, was brought up by farmers in rural America, farmers who named him Clark Kent. Jesus the Christ was also born to very ordinary parents, Joseph and Mary, who were away from home when he was born and who put him in a manger because they didn't have a crib for him. And then heaven erupts. It erupts in joy and excitement because the Messiah has finally been born as a human. God has become one of us. God now has flesh and blood, and a new era has begun. Shepherds who were outdoors in the cold night watching their sheep caught the joy of heaven bursting through the clouds, bursting into creation, angels singing, peace on earth and goodwill to humanity with whom God is pleased. The Messiah is here. The child is born, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But wait, remember that list of superpowers? I said earlier that based on some preliminary research, it seems that most superheroes can fly. Many can make themselves invisible, or can shapeshift, or go through walls. They all have some degree of super strength and super speed. How can it be that Jesus, this little baby, is the Messiah, the Christ, the Prince of Peace, when he shows none of those powers? You may remember that Satan, who is the supervillain behind all supervillains, offered Jesus special superpowers when he was fasting in the desert before beginning his ministry, but Jesus didn't take them. I wonder if it's possible that Jesus has other superpowers, superpowers that are not on the list. I think so. I think that Jesus the Christ had superpowers that he taught us and showed us. Powers of forgiveness, love, and gentleness. The power of connecting deeply and intimately with the superpower of the universe himself. The one whom we call God and he called Father. The power also of non-violent resistance to the arch supervillain and all his ways. And that is what calls us here tonight. In the child in the manger, we see qualities that will inform the earthly life of the Messiah. Humility, quietness, and living on the margins. God comes to earth and is born in a stable. God comes to earth in the lives of common people. And that is truly astonishing. Jesus the Christ takes our idea of superheroes and stands it on its head. The Messiah, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is not going to use super speed, super strength to crush the villains. In fact, as we know, Caesar and Herod will laugh at him and send him for execution. No, the Messiah is going to change the world by the power of love and forgiveness. The angels sang, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors. On earth peace among those whom he favors doesn't mean peace to a few who God likes. It means peace among all of us because God favors. God is pleased with humanity. God is pleased with creation. That's why God became part of the creation, one of us. That's why God came to dwell with us, to make one thing very clear. God loves us. God loves you and God loves me. And because God loves us unconditionally, so God enables us also to love one another with understanding and forgiveness. Whenever we say that prayer that Jesus taught us together, we say something like, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is the superpower of the Messiah. Love and forgiveness. And it's our superpower too. But there is one more thing, at least one more thing. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Christ gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we might be in touch with God and God's grace in every moment. This is one of our hidden superpowers, the presence of God. And it is that presence which enables us to do the difficult work of love and forgiveness. It is that presence that we find when we quiet ourselves and sing the carols at Christmas. And when we gather together for communion, God's presence is always here. But we get to open ourselves to God and let go of our preoccupation so that we can sink into the presence of that which is so much bigger than we are. So let's take just a few minutes now in silence to do just that, to open our hearts and let that presence touch us, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christmas filling us with forgiveness and God's astonishing love.